Milo's Pro Rewards members. Save big during Lowe's Pro Savings Days. Get your member volume discount plus an extra 5% off eligible orders with a quote of $2,000 or more. And buy more and save more with up to 20% off in-stock molding when you spend $250 or more. Members get more at Lowe's. Valid through 7/31. Exclusions, more terms, and restrictions apply. Can't be combined with any contract or special pricing. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit the Pro Desk or Lowe's.com/terms for more details. Subject to change.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car look in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest here. Want to bring a little Hollywood excitement to your day? Take a few spins with Chumba Casino's brand new game, Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways. It's free and features 10,000 ways to play, giving you nonstop action, including thrilling bonus respins and cascading reels. Every spin brings something new, so step into the spotlight. Enjoy the excitement and play today at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Dree.
Lots of things have happened in the last handful of days in the David case, and we're going to be breaking them all down, and you are welcome to give us your questions and your thoughts in the comment section as we do so, wherever you are watching us. Please do drop them. Happy Monday, everybody. 4 days of preliminary hearing testimony against David Burke, the singer known as David, have put a mountain of evidence into a Los Angeles court record, and a fourth day was the worst of it. Yeah, we learned so many new things, including about a baby that never came about. Robin Dreeke is here, retired FBI Special Agency for the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, to help us break down some of the big questions here and how the defense explains any of it away, because Blair Burke is one of the best defense attorneys in the country, and she needs an answer for every single one of these questions. So let's get into it. One of the big things, the detective read Burke's own message in court, and the one of the text messages said, "When you go and get it done. When, W-E-N, you gonna get it done," as he's talking about her ending the pregnancy that she had at the age of 13, and he's an adult. When you know, because you can't, heaven forbid David be troubled to use full words in a text. It's like when you gonna order Arby's. Really? I mean, does the defense concede, all of these things and just fight the killing? He's a horrible person. He's, completely a little narcissistic monster, which he appears to be. Everything's about him and his image and his money, and he's protecting it at every cost along the way. He's that, but he's not a killer. Is that what you do in a case like this? What do you make of the pregnancy information that's now come to light in this case?
I mean, this is such a broken individual in every aspect. It's been really interesting and terrifying and tragic that defense isn't even covering this aspect of it. You know, the child abuse, the S abuse of a 13-year-old girl. They're lightly seemingly trying to cover and saying he wasn't responsible or, the reason for her death. But it's like they're totally ignoring the other side of which it's just as equal bad. I mean, it's just, there's two sides to him. It's like, I mean, he was brought up, it seems, with zero guardrails. Granted, he seems to be like a five-year-old problem solver. With zero guardrails, accountability, and have we seen in so many cases, he's got this sadistic tinge to him. You know, what is it with human beings that we're the only species on this planet that seems to like sadism, some of us? I mean, just, and he's one of them.
Well, he was brought up in a very religious household. I don't know all the details of it. It's right. Something I do want to dig into deeper, but very religious. Okay. So we're talking, you know, I don't know if it's to the level of IBLP-ish, but it seems kind of in that, you know, family, maybe a cousin of it. That sort of extreme religiosity, very rigid thinking, very not attuned to the outside world. Until suddenly he starts making music and starts becoming a cash cow. Then it seems mom and dad, you know, maybe some of the extreme religiosity goes out of the way because, well, I mean, your son became a slot machine. Now, that's my conjecture. That's my opinion as I'm looking at this from the outside. Obviously, the inside is very, very different. And I'm telling you now, I don't know all the details of how this all went. But just on the outside looking in, which could be wrong, it looks like, you know, some of the very strict guardrails went away very quickly. And we know something about human beings. When they're held back and they're restrained over here and not shown what's behind door number two or the outside world, and suddenly they're there, that can be a very jarring thing. I'm not trying to make any excuses for David here. I'm trying to figure out the recipe for David here. And I'm wondering, and I'm curious to get your thoughts of how much an upbringing, an extremely sheltered upbringing that went from that to this. I mean, it does seem like there was some sort of, you know, the traumatic shift very quickly. And that might've just been fame. That might've, the trauma in David's world might've been fame of suddenly going from very sheltered to suddenly you're this artist that's making all this macabre music that probably does not necessarily adhere to your family's religious, you know, testimonies of everything that you've known. So very jarring, very different, but that also throws people's compasses, I would say, very off balance as well, because they don't know how to act. What are your thoughts on that whole premise, Robin?
Yeah, I give it a big dose of the maybes on that one, because we do see, I mean, it's easy if we want to just have a binocular or monocular looking right at cases just like this that go sideways, or someone goes from, you know, strict religious or just a strict background in general to having freedoms or wealth or basically going from 0 to 100 and it going sideways, and we've seen horrendous things. But at the same time, though, you can see other cases where it doesn't. You know, I mean, every time I think of him, I think of like Katy Perry. You know, Katy Perry grew up, you know, her dad was a pastor. Granted, it's apples and oranges in some cases, but here's someone that grew up singing gospel music and was, you know, in a very religious household, and she made it big and she didn't go nuts. I mean, granted, you know, and some people might say nuts, but no, she's successful. She's doing well. She hasn't killed anyone or being accused of killing anyone, you know, and so people do make that adjustment. It's a rough adjustment. And I think the other thing that really pops in my mind is, who are all these people surrounded by when that shift happens? Because that's what I think really, really makes a difference. You know, we have our genetic and biological coding, and people are predetermined in some cases that, you know, if you are lacking empathy, you are, you know, on that psychopathy scale. It is a scale that goes from, you know, 0 all the way up to 100, or all the way up to Lori Daybell Vallow, right? Yeah. And people are on that scale someplace. But if you're predisposed to one end of it where you lack empathy, and then you surround yourself with really unhealthy people that are motivated by greed, because I think that's the other major motivator we keep talking about, where there's all these guardrails growing up and all of a sudden greed kicks in, whether it's with parents or the sycophants that have surrounded you, that greed kicks in and you start turning that blind eye, and all of a sudden there are no guardrails. People, you know, just think about Diddy. Diddy, there's no guardrails on him either. And what happens? People just start feeding that narcissism. And if you have lack of empathy, higher on psychopathy, you have no guardrails, you have greed kicking in, your sycophants around you are feeding it. You know, it's another bucket of genetic goo of chaos. And that's where I think it really fell on this one. I think it's unusual, but not as unusual as we might want to hope, because I think he was a product of being made as much as he was genetics as well. I really do.
Yeah, I think you got a good mix going on. And we're going to get more into who David was prior to all of this in our next segment. I didn't mean to go too far down that road, but I led us there. But it is something I want to dive more into a little bit further in the conversation. So please be dropping your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. And by the way, up if you're watching us on YouTube, up over there, there's a QR code now. You can take us with you on the go, by the way. So if you want to listen to the podcast beyond just YouTube, please do. Just go to the QR code and it'll take you to a place where you can subscribe anywhere you get podcasts. So it's a kind of a nice little extra way to take us with you. What did you make of this? His phone, because we're learning so many little things about David through these text messages that have come out. And aspects of his phone, allegedly his phone lock screen, at the time of arrest down the road here, his phone lock screen was a photo of them embracing. I don't know what to make of that. I mean, if you know that the world is looking at you as possibly being the killer of this young girl, and you're telling people that you don't have that, he told police, "Oh, I don't barely know her," you know, or whatever he said when they came in and talked to him. It was just very like nonchalant. "I don't know much about her." Obviously not true. But he was free for damn near at least more than half a year from the investigation of this starting, and everybody, when we started talking about it, he was a free man, and she's still on the lock screen of you guys embracing. They had the matching tattoos and all that. Obviously her fingers were cut off that had the matching tattoos on it. What do you, Robin, as a behavior person, what's your take on that? That allegedly up to the point of, you know, them confiscating his device, the lock screen is a picture of the two of them.
I think it could, like many things, I think it could be many things. When it comes to him, my first thought always is lazy idiot. Because I think that plays into it. His lack of understanding of how investigations go, the criminal code, what right and wrong is, obviously. I mean, his immaturity as a human being is so bottomed out that I think a lot of it's that. But the other thing that really struck me too, and as a possibility that's sprinkled in here, because I think it's never just one thing. It's like we said, you throw all the goo in the bucket and this is what you wind up with. And we talked about this when dealing with Asa Ellerup and Rex and all these other nutters out there. I'd be very curious. Oh, and also, what's her face? That, you know, the children's book's name, Corey Richens. You know, people define love, can define love very, very differently. And I'm very curious about that with him, because if he, in other words, how does a sadistic psychopath like him, I'll define him as that for now, for thought experiment's sakes, how does he define love? Maybe that was very loving to him. I mean, who knows? See what I mean? I mean, who knows? Because their way of thinking is so incongruent with a behavioral pattern of normal human beings that is really hard to say. You know, it could be that. It could be how he defines things. I think the predominance of it is pure stupidity because he's a complete idiot. But at the same time, he might have even been thinking, it's like, well, why bother? I did so many of the dumb things, but this is just like one more sprinkle of all the crap I just put on the ice cream cone for myself.
And it's interesting to think about in that discussion. I mean, how does he define love? How do we define love, Robin? I mean, is that something that comes to us? And it's a good question for Siobhan too. But from a behavior standpoint, from what you understand, I mean, is that something that comes more so from, you know, what we have demonstrated to us in childhood, from our parents demonstrating love and caring to us, and what they define as love to us? Because what one may define as love, or walk out of that house going, oh, this is love, and it's very rigid and it's very conditional and it's very restrictive. But if that's all you know, and that's what you think love is because that's what was demonstrated to you. That's what you're going to practice. But if it's not that, if it's giving, if it's forgiving, it's caring, it's something other than that, then that will be your definition of love too. It's a lot about what is conditioned to us, is it not? I mean, I'm trying to get more to the meat here or the recipe, the ingredients of what made David. And we'll go more into our second segment. But I do wonder about that. How much does, look, most very religious households, very rigid, very conditional in your thinking and their demonstrations of love to one another. It is. I know it should be the opposite if you're thinking of what truly the Bible is about and Jesus and all that. But that's not how it's practiced in most cases. In most cases, it's very rigid and very conditional in those sort of thinkings. So, I mean, it does kind of track to a certain extent.
So it's, this is such a great deep question, and you're right, depends on the context in which you grow up in. In general, so let's just think about this. All the motivations of us as a species is fear. Fear drives our reactions to everything. And so things that allowed us to feel safe at those earlier formative years of life are the things that we want to have and continue to want to have the rest of our lives. And so if we have good, healthy relationships, because that is how we can mature through the life arc of a human being, is good, healthy, strong relationships that allow us to feel safe, those are the things we're going to pursue for the rest of our lives. How that's demonstrated to us during those early formative years is really, really telling to what we're going to be seeking the rest of our lives. A lot of times, when we're seeing demonstrated with a lot of these abhorrent bags of goo that we see, is that control becomes the thing they need to have to feel safe. And for pure conjecture reasons here in a thought experiment, say because he was in such a controlled environment, that's what allowed him to feel safe or maybe unsafe. And so when control was exercised against him, maybe he didn't feel safe. And so in order to feel safe for the rest of his life after he broke away from that, he needs, his only memory he has for human interaction is control, which a lot of psychopaths do. A lot of people do. Control freaks. I mean, we've seen this in so many of our cases. That's what Corey Richens, when we talked to Siobhan about it, she defined love as her ability to control her kids, control her environment, control her husband, control absolutely everything and everyone. Because what's control do? It allows us to feel safe. A lot of people define that as love. I saw a good podcast the other day, and they're asking a Buddhist monk, are you happy? And he goes, that's a really interesting question, because what is really happiness? And happiness is really just a state of peace. And what brings about peace? A feeling of safety. And so that's what we're really all pursuing as a species. We want to feel safe because that allows us to have peace. Homeostasis is what we're seeking when we don't have all the strifes and challenges that we face on a daily basis. And so during the formative years of life, if you start defining that feeling of safety, I need control for whatever reason that developmentally hit, that's how these things, again, get added to that bucket of goo.
I feel like that question, are you happy? I don't like it ever because
it's a horrible one.
Because and happiness is a temporary thing. Are you fulfilled? I like that. Are you, because that fulfillment is not necessarily something that comes and goes in very quick waves. Happiness does. Happiness can be a very blip. Fulfillment is more of a wave that either goes up or down. And if you're a fulfilled person, you're not necessarily doing crazy shit because you're good where you're at. And I think so many, we're in a world where we chase this happiness bug or what we think should be happiness. And then so many people end up not fulfilled and they're truly chasing fulfillment, but they're trying to fill it with happiness and happiness is fleeting.
Because then why is it fleeting? Yeah. It's a dopamine hit.
Yeah,
because happiness, I mean, again, I sound like an armchair psychologist. I'm sorry.
We are today.
So happiness really happens when we feel happy. What's going on in the brain? We're having a dopamine hit. And what creates a dopamine hit? Because we set a goal and objective. We achieve the goal and objective or that finish line. We cross the finish line. But as soon as we cross the finish line, we get the dopamine hit and the dopamine fleets. And so we need to do another dopamine. That's how people get addicted, because we like things that give us dopamine hits. Sometimes it can be healthy. Sometimes they're unhealthy. Yeah. And so control If we exercise control over someone and they become compliant, it's a dopamine hit. I mean, we saw fear being used to control with what's-her-face, you know, that killed her friends, the teenager that's in jail. I can't believe I'm blanking everyone's name. You know, which she drove 100 miles an hour into the wall because she's using fear as a form of control because that made her feel safe. Again, it's the same thing. It keeps repeating itself.
It is. And when you're following that in life and you're following little blips, little things to make you happy real quick, you tend to follow that in other things. Little quick ways to fix temporary solutions. Everything in life becomes a Band-Aid. Like 11 air fresheners in the car where you have a body in the trunk. Like somehow that's going to fix it. Oh, I mean, again, that's a prime example where it's like happiness, quick little spike of happiness here, quick little solution over here. Like it ain't going to fix your problem. It's going to smell like shitty air freshener Christmas tree for a few minutes with the slight undertone of decay. But, you know, the air freshener might win for a day or two. But I mean, that's the way of thinking. I mean, when you see someone demonstrate that level of stupidity, I don't know any other way to call it, just wear the dunce cap every day. If you're putting 11 air fresheners in your car to hide the scent of a decaying body, and somehow thinking, oh, this will solve the problem. There's not many good problem solving skills in existence in that person's brain.
No, it's very reactionary. And I don't know what the prosecutors are going to try to go for when it comes to premeditation on this. But when I see things like that, that's not premeditated. That's the level of premeditation is so light because but it's very typical of someone who never had to really struggle to solve a serious problem in life because as it came up, you solved it as it came up. And since you have no life skills and actually facing something like bad odors, you know, it's kind of like, I mean, how many times, I mean, I know you got a teenager now, but I remember my kids, you know, it took a while to teach them that, you know, when they were younger or any of their friends, that the way you take a shower is not getting up in the morning and take a whole bottle of Axe and just spraying it all over yourself and that counts as a shower. No, that is a fucking, Band-Aid for bad hygiene. Yeah. It's the same thing here. So when I saw all the air fresheners, it just reminded me of a teenager or preteen with really, really no habits of how to encounter life on a daily basis because they had everything taken care of for them. And so when you have everything taken care of for you, such structure and rigidity. Now remember, structure and rigidity doesn't necessarily mean that you were controlled. It just meant everything was planned so you didn't have to solve problems. You didn't have to face something and figure out what to do next. You didn't have to face an obstacle in the road and figure out how to get around it because the structure and rigidity that mom and dad gave me solved the problem for me. And then all of a sudden he goes from zero to her having to solve own problems to, oh my God, I killed someone or someone got pregnant or someone is saying that she's going to go to the law enforcement and say that I was underage. And all of a sudden you go from zero problem solving to this problem solving. And so this is what you wind up with. Stupid.
You sure do. You sure do. I mean, I feel at the end of the day, like both of these people were failed spectacularly by their parents. And it's just like, it's the patients are running the asylum.
And every adult in their lives. I mean, so David, it's not like he's just surrounded by a bunch of other 18-year-olds that are actually running his business. I couldn't be. I mean, how could someone in the industry which promoting him, going to concerts. I mean, there's got to be other adults in here, right? I mean, we're going to hear about them in the trial. Even if you shove the parents out there and you say the parents didn't create the guardrails, surely someone who's actually in the greed business, which is what they are, you know, you have a product, you have greed, and so you're going to do all you can to make money. You're going to create the guardrails for them so they don't do stupid so you can keep making your money. But they failed on that level too.
The music industry isn't very good at that. The music industry is a little more like, don't disturb the cash machine. And when the cash machine dies, set it afire and throw it out the window and pretend we never had it here.
Tesla.
Yeah, throw it because I mean that's music industry in general. When something like questionable happens, it's just get rid of it. Don't deal with it. It's like, okay, we've milked it for all we can, but don't disturb it. Let it self-destruct. They're not good at maintaining, general maintenance, if you will, on their artists and such. And that's why so few ever seem to have longevity, because they fall to the not that murdering people is a temptation, but the temptations of the excess of that world, and then it can go down very dark places. And if you already have a propensity to go down those sort of roads, well, then it's that much easier. And I wonder if that's what's going on here with David. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. Links are in the description.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Brewski and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better. With new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect, the fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest here. If you love great games and a little extra excitement to your day, I got something fun for you. Chumba Casino and I have teamed up to create an exclusive online social casino game. It's called Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's fun and free to play, just like all your favorites from Chumba Casino. And every spin brings 10,000 ways to keep the good times going. Check it out and play for free today at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T&Cs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.